Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. As always, it's Rockwell Peterson.
And Isaac Wilhelmy.
And joining us in the studio today?
Matthew Wilhelmy.
Awesome. We're going to be talking about space and time. Let's get started. Okay, to start this off, we'll kick it to our guests like we normally do. Any opening statements or opinions on the general concept of space and time?
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Literally.
For sure.
I've been playing around with a lot of different things, especially like time dilation lately, and I can't wrap my head around the concept of time dilation and how it works, but the math plays out. Multiple physicists say...
Yeah.
It works, because this, and this equation. I'm like, okay, equations are a little over my head, but you say it works, so it works. Like, the concepts are just... It doesn't make sense. I've looked up time dilation, especially due to motion, relative motion, multiple times, and, like, I'll retain it for, like, 10 minutes, and it kind of makes sense, but then I'll try and think about it 2 days later, and I just lose it all again.
Yeah, that's fair. In my opinion, time... Our whole concept of time is simply just our measurement of order. Like, time is a measurement of order. So therefore, black holes that cause a warping in time and time to slow as you approach them because of how heavy their mass is, the order in a black hole is pretty much non-existent. You know what I mean? So by viewing time as a measure of order, it makes sense how... the less order that's around you, the less, you know, like, the slower time goes. At least that's how I help it make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's a tough subject for me because I'm like, what is it? A man created it, basically.
Yeah.
Just, like, to... tell how, like, what time it is, where we are, like, I'm just like, what? Okay, how did you create time? I know it's all, like, space and measurements and gravity and stuff, but it's weird, because the closer you are to the gravitational pull of the Earth, it's the closer you are that is, like, time goes faster, right? Technically.
It depends, literally time depends on the observer. And what your observation point of view is.
Okay.
So, gravity does affect time. The closer you are to a large mass, the slower time will go relative to outside observers. To you, time never changes. You always experience time the same way, but the outside observer will observe you moving slower relative to them.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's all about point of view.
Gotcha. So, like, if someone's in space... time goes
slower
for them.
Yep. And so, like, our GPS systems have to be constantly updated by the military because they're farther away from Earth than we are, and so they experience time differently. And so us down here, we're experiencing time 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, but out there, it's going much, faster. So they'd be ahead of us, even though they're geosynchronous, so they're literally stationary in relation to us. Mm-hmm. The mass is what changes how time affects it, because mass will bend time and space towards itself. And so they literally have atomic clocks, and there's a new one. I can't remember how it measures time, but it's even more accurate than atomic clocks, down to like picoseconds. And they've literally had synchronous clocks at the same level, raised one a millimeter, and... they can measure the time dilation of just that millimeter, because it's a millimeter farther away from the Earth than the other clock is, and there's measurable time difference over time.
Jeez.
Well, it creates an interesting thing. Well, a couple of interesting things, but first of all, time for us up here in South Dakota actually moves differently than someone in Miami. Not just because of a time zone change, like legitimately the height difference compared to sea level causes a change in... time. And the second thing is, it raises an interesting debate on math and science, where At least the theory that I ascribe to is that science is the measurement and explanation of our universe that can be supported by facts. Math is a human's attempt to quantify and understand everything.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, because we... Mm-hmm. There are some things in math where you can tell we're stretching a bit to make it make sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's certain times where you're sitting there and you're like... okay.
Sure.
You know what? Sure.
It's humanity's best attempt.
Yeah.
Like, we can't perceive the universe as it actually is, so we're getting as close as we can.
We're trying. trying. But yeah. No, it's definitely interesting, because apparently they did the math, and... Like 95% of the universe is dark matter and dark energy, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which stuff is, we can't see or perceive in any way.
It's insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it was essentially based on they were seeing movements in stars and galaxies that didn't make sense given the visible mass we can see, and so they had to figure out why. And so they came up with the concept of dark matter, which technically haven't proven yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
I love how just humans are like, we don't technically know what it is, so we'll just make some up and call it that.
Yeah, we'll give it a cool name and no one's going to question it. It's fine.
But yeah, isn't it like, what, 8 minutes or 7:25 for us to die if the sun explodes?
For us to realize that the sun's gone out, it would take about 8.5 minutes, I think, is what it is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I've noticed about time dilation is that all of it has to do with your point of view, and also the fact that the speed of light is an unbreakable speed limit for mass. Mm-hmm. And so the time it takes light to travel to you also affects your perception of the world, and time is all about perception. So
So you mentioned unbreakable for like light speed.
Yep.
So you can't go light speed?
No, technically, you can only ever stay right below the speed of light if you have mass. Because given the mathematical equations, as velocity increases, mass also exponentially increases. So there's no amount of energy in the universe to push something with mass past the speed of light.
Gotcha.
It would take infinite energy to move an infinite mass, and that we just can't do it.
Gotcha. And I know you mention time dilation a little bit. Do you want to like explain it, if you can, just like what it is?
So the one I've been trying to focus on the most and wrap my head around is time dilation due to relative motion.
Okay.
And so the biggest concept that most people are aware of are the twin paradox. So you have twins on Earth. One twin stays, one twin leaves, goes to a distant star, comes back, and they're younger than their twin that stayed.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, how does that make sense? Like, time is based on the observer, and so both of them should be experiencing time the same, no matter how far they go or how fast they go. Mm. But there's multiple math theorems and equations that clearly state relative motion to an observer will cause time dilation. And so the person on Earth will watch the ship leave, and they'll look at the star. It's 10 light years away. So at light speed, it should take 10 years to get there.
Yeah.
And then it should take another 10 years to get back. So if I look out there, and given that I know my twin's ship can travel at 0.6 the speed of light, then it should take them, let's say, 10 years to get to that star.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave. They travel for however long it takes them. So let's say I've got a clock and my twin's got a clock, and we've got super powerful telescopes that can observe each other's clocks
okay
during this whole journey. So our clocks are synced when he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves, and there's another interesting, I guess it's proof, not theory at this point, that at higher speeds, the length of an object and or distances will decrease for the person who's moving. Because they're, let's say you've got a meter stick.
Okay.
I see it as a meter, but if you're moving at 0.6 the speed of light as you're passing the stationary meter stick, it'll appear shorter. And so that same applies to distances. And so the okay. the person who's traveling at 0.6 light speed will actually only travel for 8 years because the distance is actually shorter because they're moving faster relative to me.
What?
And the math supports it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, distance is distance. How does going faster make it an actual shorter distance? It's not that you're getting there faster because you're moving faster. There's literally a shorter distance. And so it takes him 8 years what it should have taken him 10 years. And so he gets to the star. He looks back at Earth, and it takes time for light to travel. Mm-hmm. So he's experiencing Doppler effect. And so Doppler effect is, as you approach something, wavelength decreases. As you move away from something, wavelength increases. And so when he turns back, he sees his clock as it was 4 years ago. So he's reading the Earth clock as 6 years have passed, whereas he's experienced 8, or maybe it's 4. It might be like half. So he might see like 4 years on the Earth clock because it took... He traveled... It's so hard. So he traveled for 8 years, but it should have taken 10. But the light was also traveling faster than he was. So he sees it as it was essentially 6 years ago when he looks back. Whereas the person who's stationary, stayed on Earth, looks at his clock, it actually reads 16 years. Because it took him, from my perspective, 10 years to get there. But then it also took another 6 years for the light to get back.
Gotcha.
And so,
it's like that whole thing, the whole theory, or I don't know if it's proven or not, where if you go into space, get a good enough telescope, you can see dinosaurs on Earth, or something like that, if you go far enough.
You would have to travel faster than the speed of light far enough.
Oh,
than you
okay.
could. Because you'd have, because essentially what all the stars we're seeing, we're seeing from the past. So gotcha. If you could travel faster than the speed of light far enough, you could view light that left the Earth 60 billion years ago and see dinosaurs.
So you would have to go
faster
over
than the speed.
You would have to
faster
go
than
far.
The speed of light in
faster
60
than the
billion
in incredibly far away. So
light years away.
Yeah, a little farther than 60 billion light years, so that you can catch the light getting here. So.
Wow.
Yeah. No, an interesting one to me is the fact that the U.S. space station orbits the Earth every 90 minutes, because they're constantly in free fall. Because when you're at that height from Earth, like 99% of the Earth's gravity is actually acting upon you. It's just the fact that they're constantly in free fall that makes it look like it's like anti-gravity. It's like space is not anti-gravity, but orbiting the Earth every 90 minutes in complete free fall, where if anything goes wrong or the math is wrong, you will just crash into Earth's atmosphere, burn up, and die.
So, you said 99% in Earth's, like, gravitational pull?
Yeah.
So they're still affected by gravity, but they're affected at the same rate as the whole entire space station. And so, essentially, you can do it on a plane, too. If the plane dives fast enough, you're moving at the exact same free fall rate as the plane, and so it looks like you're...
Floating.
Oh. Okay.
Because you're falling at the same rate.
Yeah.
So it's you and a rock falling at the same rate, but to you, plane doesn't look like it's moving because you're falling at the same rate. Again, relative perception.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's why you see them like moving around and everything's moving like that, is because they are orbiting the Earth every 90 minutes, which is just mind-blowing to me.
They're essentially constantly falling towards the Earth.
Like always plummeting. Like that. I don't know about you guys, but that would just get really, really unnerving for me. The fact where it's like, I hope Jerry did his math right. I swear to God.
Jerry. But no.
Hypothetical Jerry.
Yes, indeed. But no, time. Time's just crazy. It's just like, like you said, observancy, basically.
Yeah, it's all about perception.
Yeah, perception.
Like
and
your frame of reference.
Yeah.
And, like, I was thinking about time one day, and a lot of people think time is linear, straight line, and that's due to perception. We think the Earth is flat if we just looked out and we never went to orbit or did the sun shadow experiments.
Yeah.
We didn't think the Earth is flat. And same with time. Because we experience it linearly. We can only see straight ahead or look straight backwards. And so I was thinking about it, but like a lot of people claim that there's cyclical time, like events recur, keep happening in certain intervals.
Like plagues on every second decade of every century.
Some people think like every 33 years similar events occur, stuff like that. And so like I was thinking of it more less of a line and more like maybe a helix that kind of winds in a tube perimeter, and so the time's still moving forward, but it's also rotating around a perimeter, like a helix. And so maybe these reoccurrences that happen every so many years or whatever is just the time loop coming back around to the same perimeter. And so those perimeter edges line up. And so we're still moving forward, but things are recurring because we're kind of at the same perimeter. And we maybe, if we figure out the math and the technology, we can move within the tube perimeter. So we can move around the helix and go to different spots, but we can never break outside of the perimeter. And so we're always locked to time in one way or another.
That could definitely be it. The way I like to think about it is that, like, the fabric of the universe and time kind of is built in a similar fashion because they're closely linked to each other, and it's kind of like in an infinity symbol where everything kind of wraps over itself, and so that would create the same overlap just simply in the middle. Almost as if like a threading across the universe. And so it's like if you push down on one side, other things are going to move up more. So it's like you have, say, a black hole on the right side of this infinity loop. And so it's going to like push down on it and the fabric as a whole. But the rest of it is going to go up more, causing more things to kind of slide into it and slow down as they're going down, because there's also that up portion. So if you're on the up portion, it causes it to actually slow down. And then everything else over here would actually start to move a bit faster because of it, relative. So.
Yeah, no, I wanted to ask you and get your opinion on, like, that whole things reoccurring in, like, history and stuff. Because I know every, like I mentioned, every second decade of every century, there has been either a plague or a virus that has happened. Because, like, what, 1720 was just, like, the normal plague, and then...
Black Plague.
The plague.
The normal plague.
The normal plague. The one we deal with every year, it's fine.
And then 1820, what was that? Forgot that one. 1920 was a Spanish flu, right?
Yeah.
Swine flu was 1820, right? Or no.
We dealt with the swine flu in, like, 2008.
Yeah, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it happens every year. And it's every 100 years. And I'm like, how?
I think part of it is the fact that humans are cyclical creatures. So I don't know if time itself... Like, I've noticed that time does mirror itself in some aspects. But also, humans... If it gets to be 100 years away, that's like... our grandparents or our great-grandparents, and the generations are different enough to make the same mistakes, thinking that they aren't. You know what I mean? Because it's like, each one of those generations, they let their hygiene fail, or, you know, some safety precautions fail. Like, if you look at, say, 1720s, there was human fecal matter all over the streets and in the rivers, and people were drinking from the rivers, so, yeah. They all died. But yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about, where it's humans continue to make similar mistakes, especially if we don't learn about them and learn from them. And so I think it would help us deal with things in the future more if we actually learned about stuff like this. Because I've noticed a lot of people calm down when they realize that this virus situation has happened multiple times before when we had worse medical technology, and we're still fine.
Yeah, and it's not horrible. It just spreads fast.
Yeah.
The rates aren't bad either.
And so that's a good point, though, too. Like, we may notice that things happen again every 100 years, but why is it 100 years? It's because it's our concept of time. We established that this is how long a year is, this is how long everything is. Like, I mean, our rotation around the sun helped, but if we go to Mars, our days are going to have different timelines.
Oh, yeah.
And so even the fact that different societies on Earth had different calendars when they were developing their society, time for us is a concept. Like, yes, I believe it's an actual I want to say physical principle because it exists.
Yeah.
Because we move forward, we have experiences, we have a past, so time must exist. Mm-hmm. But how we relate to time is all a human concept. And so just because something's happening every 100 years doesn't mean it's time doing it.
Yeah.
Or being that it's even related to time, because 100 years is still our concept of 100 years.
Okay.
It doesn't mean time views that as 100 years.
Hmm.
If we're talking about time as, let's say, an entity.
Well, part of it depends on lifespan. You know, like a time relative for, say, an ant to us, every day is going to... You know what? A dog's a better example. Because a dog will live, what? 2 or 3 years in dog years every...
1 year.
Every 1 year for us.
Mm.
So every single day... they're going to remember better and will seem longer to them because it's a longer portion of their lifespan. But as they get older, every day will seem exponentially shorter than ours will,
mm-hmm.
because they also have a much shorter lifespan. It's like when you're growing up as a kid, every day seems so much longer because it's a larger mm-hmm. portion of your lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you get older, every day seems to get faster.
Because you've experienced more,
you've
been through more, and, like, there's not any new experiences, really.
Exactly. And so, our day relative to a dog's day will always be different.
Mm. Yeah.
As far as experiencing time.
Yeah, as far as experiencing time and how fast the day goes, which is interesting.
Yeah. All right, I think that is good... point for an ad break.
Absolutely. We'll be back in just a second. And we're back. So, as far as... I believe we were discussing relative time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a Schrodinger's cat situation, in my opinion. Yeah. Where it's like, is it alive or dead when trying to view time as an entity? Because it's like, yes... time exists, but also no, it doesn't in the way that we think about it. Because humans have a tendency to personify everything. Mm, and so we're like, time must be doing it. This is happening because of time. It's like, no.
Time was man-created.
It's like saying every like time man-made. You land on a six, someone dies while playing poker at a casino. It's like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
It's by no means connected to you getting a six.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened... to happen at the same time.
Yeah. I want to jump off the topic a little bit and ask Matt about, like, white holes and black holes. Like, there are white holes.
Yeah.
And, like, what are the differences with them?
So black hole, you get a black hole when a star of significant enough mass collapses in on itself, and you get infinite mass... and density in a essentially microscopic point.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rules of physics break down. So all this matter is packed into an infinitely small point, which reaches infinite density, and we cannot conceive or explain what happens. And so once that happens, it creates... so. Gravitational force is based on mass and density.
Mm-hmm.
So the more mass you have and the more dense you are, the greater gravitational pull. And gravity, the best visual concept of space-time that I've ever seen is like pretend you're holding like a sheet,
mm-hmm.
a bed sheet, out flat. And then you take a bowling ball and put it on that sheet. The bowling ball is going to push down on that sheet, and so it creates essentially a dip in the sheet.
Yeah.
So... all of us were confined to traveling along the plane of the sheet.
Yeah.
And so as we approach a mass, we start to slip into that hole. And so we accelerate and move towards it because of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're on this plane. We hit essentially a hill, and we have to follow it and fall towards it. If we have enough speed, we can break free.
Okay.
So with a black hole, it has so much gravity that even the maximum speed limit of light... cannot escape once it gets close enough. And that's why it's black.
Okay.
There's an infinite amount of matter and energy in that spot. We just can't see it because the light can't reach our eyes because it cannot escape it.
Okay.
And so the limit of the perimeter of no return is the event horizon. Anything that passes that, gone. Never to return. Cannot escape. If light can't escape, then nothing. Anything that enters it can't escape because light has the ultimate speed.
Okay.
And so we experience time dilation because of gravity, because let's say an object is approaching the event horizon. Mm-hmm. And so light is being affected by the gravity, and so it's taking the light longer and longer to reach our eyes. So it seems like that person or object that's approaching the black hole is slowing down, just because it takes longer for the light to reach us. Mm-hmm. And so from our perspective, they're slowing down. Once they hit the event horizon, they freeze forever. Because light never passes the inner part of the event horizon, and light on the event horizon is traveling essentially infinitely parallel to time itself. And so it seems that they freeze. And so all the light that's traveling away from that object is also traveling at exactly the rate of time. And so essentially it becomes zero. And so that's essentially what a black hole does and how it affects objects.
Yeah.
It pulls in stars. It pulls in light. Nothing can escape. There's a theory that a white hole is the asshole of the black hole.
Okay.
And so everything that goes in a black hole comes back out in a white hole.
Okay.
So it's a theory that the Big Bang is essentially a white hole breaking into our universe from another universe. And all the matter that got sucked into that black hole is breaking into our universe and created our whole universe. Gotcha.
So what you're saying is, like, Earth and every other planet in this universe got sucked into a black hole and just popped out over here.
Kind disassembled, of. Rearranged, and reassembled.
Gotcha.
But that's the theory.
That's the theory. Okay.
Because
that would create the entire sci-fi concept of wormholes, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that would legitimately just be a wormhole. And on top of that, it's interesting because theoretically you could live forever in the eyes of everyone else around, even if you end up getting... Well, we're not even entirely sure what happens in a black hole, because it's one of those things that you will never find out unless you do it for yourself. And you can't tell anyone once it happens. Yeah. It just, like, you can't tell anyone. Because you're dead. Maybe. Or maybe. You're just alive
forever. Or you forever. Went through a wormhole, and now you're in a different universe.
Whatever happens, it's interesting that you could theoretically live forever if you stay close enough to the event horizon.
Relative to everyone else,
time just doesn't
move.
Pass. Like, you could sit there for hundreds upon thousands of years and then just come back to Earth and see what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would know. And to you, you're maybe 20, 30, and you've waited hundreds of thousands of years compared to everyone else, and you just kind of sat on a ship. Basically went on a cruise for a little bit on the event horizon and then came back.
Yep. The same would apply if you can reach high enough speeds and travel for long enough.
Mm.
Same dilation effect.
So could you just stick on the event horizon?
You'd have to make sure you never crossed it. But the closer you got, the faster the universe would move relative to you.
Whoa.
If you ever cross the event horizon, you're screwed.
Yeah, so then you die.
You're still going to die. But because time is still going to affect you the same way from your perspective.
Okay.
Everybody else is going to see you freeze forever.
Yeah.
You're still falling in and dying.
So technically, if you would do that, stay on the event horizon, that's kind of like time traveling. Time traveling forward into the future.
You could.
Okay.
Relative to your perspective.
Yeah.
Do you believe that there's a possible way to time travel back in the past?
I believe if we create time travel... able to actually break the barrier of time and go where we want to, we could only ever go to the past. Because the future doesn't exist.
Okay.
Although there's multiple theories that all of time ever always exists at the same moment, and so we should be able to travel anywhere. But from my perspective, from what I've experienced, the only thing I can conceive of is being able to travel backwards along a line because it exists.
Okay.
And... that's just the way I experience time, and so that's how I conceive it, because the future hasn't happened yet, so how can you travel to something that doesn't exist?
Well, theoretically, if you went back in time, though, wouldn't technically your future not exist at that point, which is why time paradoxes occur.
So wouldn't you not be able to go back?
Well, your future is now the past. It's still your future.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. But I'm just saying you couldn't go, like, even 1 second ahead of when you had left, because therefore that moment does not exist with you in it.
The only way you could do that is to revert back to the time stream and experience it normally. Exactly. Then you could pass that 1 second. But you couldn't force your way forward to something that doesn't exist.
And that's what I'm saying, which is interesting to me. Because it's
so, like, if you were to time travel in the past, you'd either have to go back to that second you left, like that millisecond.
Which was technically history, because you experienced it, so it exists in the past, even though it's future for everybody else.
Or just, like, anywhere else in your past, but you cannot go further than that, because you can't break that.
I think string theory is the only thing that could theoretically explain away the time paradoxes that occur with time travel, where a separate universe is created with every single decision that you make. So theoretically, if you go back into the past, it creates another universe. So you're not actually changing your universe's past. You've just created a new one where therefore you are then changing it. But that's no longer the main universe.
Because if you screw your universe.
Well, yeah, your universe, but you're still in that universe from here on out, which is interesting. Because it's like, if you screw something up in the past and off yourself, that entire thing could just disappear. Like, that entire branch of a universe could just disappear, because therefore you would remove yourself, the catalyst for that situation.
Well, if you're traveling to a separate universe, and then events in this universe wouldn't affect the universe you left, though.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm just saying the branch that you created by going back in time, if you screw something up, that universe essentially disappears if you are never born because of it. But in that other universe, you never went back in time. So then that never happens.
Well, see, that's assuming, like, universes influence each other, if I'm understanding what you're saying. Because something in one universe wouldn't cause another universe to cease to exist.
No, I'm not saying another universe would cease to exist. I'm saying the universe that you are existing in, should you make the decision to go back and change time, and you screw something up, then the universe that you just created by screwing that up will technically therefore cease to exist, at least from your perspective, because you made it so that you couldn't go back in time.
Well, assuming you can't go back to your original universe. And so it still sounds like one universe is affecting another universe. Because you're saying that a universe is going to disappear? I guess I don't understand.
So the idea of string theory is that, and in some ways the multiverse theory is that, each and every single decision that everyone makes and each and every single thing that happens, it creates a branch off into another universe where that things happen.
Okay.
So there's an infinite number of universes, each based off each decision you made. So in one universe, one of us just killed the other two. Thankfully, that's not the universe we exist in right now, but it's just a fun concept for me to think about, where it's like, wow, I just died right now an infinite number of times due to things completely outside my comprehension.
Yeah.
And so when dealing with time paradoxes and the string theory, which is the only way I could, you know, really explain time travel being possible, is if you made the decision to go back, it allows you to screw up and create a time paradox without ending everything.
Yeah.
Because the second you've made that decision to go back in time, that's a new universe. Because there's a universe you didn't.
Yeah.
And there's a universe you never even successfully did it and just died in the process. Yeah. But should you successfully go back in time, if after that you screw something up and create a time paradox, that universe branch that you created by that one decision that ended up screwing that universe up causes that branch to disappear.
I wouldn't think it disappeared. I would think it's just... Because if the multiverse theory is a perfect way to bypass any time travel paradoxes. If what you say is correct, and so you're saying when you travel backwards in time, you're essentially creating a new universe?
Yes.
Or entering a new universe, at least?
Not entering, but creating one based upon your decisions, because...
Creating one where the one, like, back where you left.
Because time isn't necessarily linear, so it's... think of it like a weaving braid almost, which is why it's kind of called string theory, is it branches out from each and every decision and each and everything that happens, depending upon how it goes, because each and everything has an infinite number of possibilities for how it turns out and what happens at any given moment. And so that causes this string theory effect where there's an infinite possibility of what just happened in that moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that time paradoxes would destroy any universe other than that one decision. It's just that decision can therefore not be made in that universe.
I would agree.
But there is one where it did happen.
Yeah.
Where you didn't screw it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you affecting this universe would make the universe you came from or any other universe disappear.
No. Exactly. It's just that one universe that you created through screwing that up and creating a time paradox therefore ceases to exist. But there's an infinite number of times where you succeeded and it never happens and it continues on.
Well, I don't think the actual universe would cease to exist. It's just a universe where that didn't happen or did happen.
Well, it depends upon the time paradox, I think, because some time paradoxes could cause you to cease to exist.
Mm.
And if you cease to exist, you can never go back and change time. But that the fact that you went back is still history. And that's what creates the time paradox, is you no longer exist, but in order for time to continue essentially flowing in that universe, you need to exist to make that choice to go back in time and complete history, but then you screwed it up where you no longer exist. Then you can't go back and do it.
So, like, a true time paradox can only actually exist if you remain in the same universe, though. So if you travel backwards in time in the same universe, then paradoxes are possible. But if you're crossing over to another universe, it's not a paradox because it's just a different set of events in this universe. They don't influence each other. Like, this universe, events won't affect the universe you came from.
Mm.
And so, like, I don't see any strings actually disappearing ever.
I'm not saying that it's affecting the universe you came from. I'm saying it's affecting the universe you just created with that decision where you created the time paradox.
Yeah, and so it's just a new universe. It doesn't make anything else disappear.
It's just like a branch-off universe of your universe.
Yeah, but the time paradox still exists, theoretically, in that universe because of the decision you made.
So because you're still physically in that universe?
Yes, because you are physically in all the universes. You don't necessarily jump from one to the other. There's an infinite number of you who's doing an infinite number of things at this given moment, and they're turning out an infinite number of different ways.
So are you kind of talking about like the thing that happened in Endgame, to where if you take something from the past, you would have to go back and put it in the exact same moment?
Not necessarily. I'm saying, say you go back in time. You don't speak the language. You don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Someone tries to kill you, so you kill them. It turns out to be your ancestor. Oh. So therefore, you never exist.
Hmm.
But in order for you to go back in time and end up killing your ancestor,
you would have to exist.
You would have to exist in order to do that.
But that's the great thing about multi-universes, is you can bypass the paradox. Because just because you exist in a universe where your ancestors died and couldn't birth you, doesn't mean it's a paradox, because you technically weren't born in this universe, you were born in another universe. So you're essentially a trans-universal being. So your existence in a universe where you shouldn't exist isn't a paradox, because you didn't come from this universe. You came from another.
Well, you didn't necessarily come from another universe, though. You are existing simultaneously in all of them. So it's not that you're bouncing from one to another. It's that you're existing in all of them at once.
So, like you said, killing your ancestor, would that only affect that universe's timeline?
Well, it would create a separate universe based upon that very moment that you end up killing your ancestor. That would be, that single universe would be a time paradox, because you exist in that universe. But so there's an infinite number of universes
The multiverse,
where that didn't happen, and you are existing in those as well. Okay.
So it'd only be a paradox in relation to you.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. So it'd be a paradox in relation to that singular universe, and would cause the end of that singular universe in relation to you making that decision and having it go poorly. And
from your perspective, that universe would disappear.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It doesn't physically disappear, but just from your perspective.
From your perspective, it therefore disappears and exists in a time paradox for a period of time because history is still you going back, but then history is completely altered.
Okay, I can see where you're going. It took
me a while. Yeah, no, you're good. I'm like, how do I lead these guys to understanding what I'm saying on a topic like this?
So essentially, if we were to break down time to its essence, it's all about perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of the moral of the story of this whole thing.
With the whole multiple universes thing, I thought I saw this theory or heard this theory that like when you die, if there's a moment where you could possibly die, like in a car accident or something, in some universes, like you actually die, or like in case of your universe, you do die, but your consciousness hops over to a different universe to where you didn't die, and then you go on from that point.
I've heard of that theory. I ascribe more to the fact that an infinite, like, your consciousness in this universe never necessarily moves when you, to another universe when you die. You are already existing in that universe. Because otherwise, 90-year-old people would have the knowledge and the consciousness from an infinite number of lives where they died. And would just be sitting there with this massive amount of knowledge.
But like right before you died, you would hop over to a different universe.
But then people wouldn't be able to be brought back from the dead necessarily. Because therefore, they've already hopped to another universe and can't really be brought back from that if they're alive in that other universe.
So, are you saying essentially everyone has a core essence that is simultaneously existing and conscious in different universes, but the consciousness from one universe can't transfer to the consciousness of another universe? It's just because the core essence is different from consciousness, essentially?
Yeah, essentially. Because it's like, then you get into the nature versus nurture debate, but there's still that core essence that makes every single human being that allows us to exist in space and time. And so, it's actually interesting because a lot of people who have died and been brought back have described a similar thing of feeling like a point of light in a bunch of blackness with a bunch of strange geometrical shapes, and they hear or feel something calling to them that's like a larger mass of consciousness that feels like them. So therefore, there's an infinite number of you and your consciousness existing an infinite number of times throughout time, and every time you die, you simply join back with that larger consciousness, because every time you die in an infinite universe, that consciousness therefore joins that mass, which allows time to be cyclical, because then that consciousness can break away from that large ball again and re-enter time.
Whoa. Just whoa.
Yeah.
That makes me think of the movie The One. Have you ever seen that one?
I have not.
He goes into other universes and kills himself, and it makes him stronger. So every time one of his alternate selves die, he gets stronger because that essence essentially comes back to him.
And that's what I was talking about, where it's like, if you hop to another universe, eventually there'd only be like, theoretically, one universe left, or an infinite number of universes where an infinite number of consciousness have just joined you in that universe. So you would essentially be, if not super powerful, super smart.
Yeah, super knowledgeable.
But that doesn't necessarily happen.
Yeah.
But yeah.
My biggest hang up with time is the fact that it's all on perspective, which we established, I think.
Yeah.
But how does... I think time should be like space and physics, and it functions on its own, regardless of me or what I do or my consciousness. But clearly, my perspective changes how time flows.
How
is that possible? Like, I cannot wrap my mind around it as a human to where my perspective actually changes what should be a physical law.
Well, I believe that time is consciousness. So, like, time just flows on where you're at. But I get where you're saying, where it's like, how does it, like, go differently for someone else?
That's why
I'm over here.
That's why I believe that time is simply a measure of order, which allows it to be from perspective, because time will actually go faster for you if you're angry. You know, like, if you're angry, you perceive time as going faster.
Mm.
So that means that there's less order in your life at that time, so therefore time is going to move faster for you from your perspective, because you're not focusing on it as much.
It's so weird.
Yeah, that's why things can be tedious or meticulous, is because it requires more order. And in requiring more order, it requires more thought and attention and perspective.
And makes it feel longer.
Which makes it feel longer.
That's why on work days, like Fridays, Fridays feel like forever because you just want to be out.
Exactly. And a watched pot will never boil, is the saying.
Yeah.
It will boil at the same time it would if you weren't watching it, but if you sit there and watch it, it'll seem to take so much longer.
Mm.
But yeah, that I think that's a good space to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you for dedicating your time and coming in here.
Yeah, I still feel like we barely even scratched the
surface. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, we'd love to have you on again to continue discussing this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really appreciate it. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us at
Ponderosa_Ponderers on Instagram or at our Gmail, PonderosaPonderers@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to take your topic submissions and answer them for you. And yeah.
Yeah. Matt, do you got any closing statements?
Just thanks for having me.
Yeah,
of course. Thanks for coming on. It was a great time. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. And don't forget, keep pondering.